Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. This is episode 45 on the 9th of February 2016. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And Wayne, what kind of show have we got going on today?
Today we got some musical shit for you. Some musical related shit for you.
Okay? Is that how we're going to name?
That's right. I'm not sure how the cast.
The musical shit episode.
Musical shit episode. So this, what is it? This episode here, we're doing a whole bunch of shit to do with movie music. And not scores so much.
No. That may come at a later countdown, but not today. Instead, we're talking about musicians who have become actors. We're talking about actors who are doing songs. And we're going to have some help with that. We're going to have, a little later on in the show, we're going to have Gareth from Gareth's Random Ramblings and his better half, Bex, on to talk about their favourite performances. But for now, before we get there,
we have a
little bit of feedback.
Well, what have we heard back from the readers?
So, first of all, we've heard back from loyal listener and relative to you, Ash. That's nice that family listens to the show.
Shameless.
Ash said, in regards to our recent Westerns episode, where we also reviewed The Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
He said, enjoyed this podcast. Things got real tense in my car, though, as I was listening to the top 10 best Westerns part. In my head, I was thinking, when the fuck are they going to mention Tombstone? And then it came, and I was so fucking relieved. One of my fave movies growing up, smiley face. Thank you, Ash. That was on Facebook. We much appreciate the feedback.
Can't leave Tombstone out, man.
No, it was two on yours, one on mine, I believe.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
It's up there.
Okay.
And, we got one back from a listener, Jennifer, who actually put a foot in my ass a little bit. She's talking about the Leo episode, the Revenant one.
And so, our crossover with Epic Film Guys.
That's the one. Very popular, that episode.
Very. By far our biggest episode
ever.
If you haven't, for some strange reason, checked it out, please do.
I finally watched The Revenant, and am now listening to the podcast and loving it, by the way. However, I've had to pull over on Forest Highway because Wayne has pissed me off so much by putting Wolf of Wall Street at number 8 that I needed to post this straight away. You need to sit down and have a long, hard think about what you've done. So having since released that episode, I've heard this a lot. Apparently, I need to go back and look at that movie. I thought it was good. Again, it just pissed me off because it was long.
Yeah.
But maybe I need to get over that and grow as a person.
I think Jennifer even pointed out your choice of putting, Catch Me If You Can, before that film, like at number one, has upset her as well.
Oh, well, see, I'm standing by that because I love the shit out of it. It's not all about the technical mastery. Sometimes it's about the feelings.
is that what she said?
No, that's what I say.
To her.
Yeah. So yeah, that's... anyway, hey, thanks so much for coming back with us, Jennifer. Yeah. I am absolutely glad you're listening. If anyone wants to put their foot in my ass, do it. I just want you to listen.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We appreciate any and all feedback. Thank you, Ash. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, I think we should get on to our definitely not musical related segment of today's show.
Yep.
Let's do a little bit of a Cool for Cast.
And meanwhile at the podcast, there's a couple of lovely lads who swear they know much better and they're very cool for cast. They're cool for cast.
Cool for Cast is a segment in the show where we take a recent classic or even a classic movie and look at it, pretend we're producers, and then we'll recast that movie with today's actors.
So we're remaking it. Basically, any film, doesn't matter how sacrilegious it would be to do it, it's just a fun idea brought to us by good friend of the show and loyal listener, Roscoe, who gave us this idea, and a couple of weeks ago we premiered it, and so we're back again today to talk about
The Usual Suspects.
All right, so I'm going to run through my cast that I've done for The Usual Suspects first. Then Wayne will do his, and then we've got a couple of other little special surprises at the end.
By the way, how much did we love this movie as children?
I was thinking today, as I was readying up this particular segment, I wish I had it on Blu-ray to watch. So
absolutely, it would
hold
up. It
could be a very recent or very new purchase of mine in the very near future.
Right.
So, let's start with the quintessential, the pivotal character in the film, Verbal Kint.
Verbal Kint, played by Kevin Spacey.
Pevin Spacey.
Pevin Hey.
Verbal Kint, I'm going to cast a bit of a critical darling who's, I think, got the right level of quirkiness. Yuckwim Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah. I reckon he could totally pull off the whole...
I see where you're going with this one.
Yeah.
On occasion, to me, he seems a little angry, but he can also play, like, I get it.
He's such a good actor in such a broad range, but for me, it's his complicity and his complexity that would really sell this kind of.
Yeah, and he's like a little off to the left. He's
definitely off to the left. That was the primary category I was looking to cast.
That's not bad. It's good.
Then the next, Stephen Baldwin as Michael McManus. I've cast for him, which is someone I quite like. I'm pretty happy with this choice. Mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper.
That's good. That's excellent.
I think he's, he's a much better actor than Stephen Baldwin ever was.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he kind of personifies a very similar character.
Do you remember there was a scene in The Usual Suspects where they're about to kill Kobayashi, and then he drops some knowledge on them, and they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's where Stephen Baldwin is, he's got a gun to his head, and then he finally gets the nod from, I think, Gabriel Byrne, and he's like, oh, okay, cool. And he's really excited to sort of step away and put the gun to the guy's head.
Yep.
Because Stephen Baldwin, do you think he's a good-looking man? Not particularly, maybe some chicks think. No, he's fine. He's just like, that's why I say, because when I cast a good-looking guy for him too, and you cast Bradley Cooper.
Mm.
So I think
that... the chicks dig.
The chicks dig.
People dig.
Yeah, so but the whole point is, can this character, assuming we're going the same way with this movie, can that actor play that sort of...
I think so.
I believe so too.
Yep.
I believe so too. So.
All right. Then Dean Keaton, played by Gabriel Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with this one.
This one's, yeah.
But I'm okay, I think, with it. So I'm looking for that kind of age range appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of weather, but still good looking. But just wise, kind of beyond his years, kind of weary soul.
Yep.
Matthew McConaughey.
Really? I suppose he's a little older now. He's got a little more timber to his voice.
Yeah, he's like 47, 46 years old now.
Not bad. He's young looking, though. But I think that he could...
Didn't look that young in Wolf of Wall Street.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He was like all gaunt and purple.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that's an interesting choice.
Fred Fenster. Well, I was surprised to learn his name is Fred.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah, so Fenster, played by Benicio Del Toro in his breakout role. Yeah, but fantastically and so memorably.
We'll talk. Yeah.
I cast who I've cast here.
Why, who do you cast?
And I really wanted to go... I wanted to work in a bit of a Tarantino-like renaissance for someone.
All right.
So here's my role where I'm doing that. I'm casting Nicolas Cage.
Yes! That's actually pretty good.
So I've gone away from the Latin American, obviously. I've decided in doing this that we shouldn't stick to race and whatever. But age, maybe.
But
you can argue otherwise if you choose to do so. But I thought Nicolas Cage, probably a bit older than Benicio Del Toro was when he did this film. But
he's
got that over-the-top zaniness.
Yes, you're right. It is. It's almost a joke, this character. So... okay, good choice, Go on.
Todd Hockney, so Kevin...
Kevin Pollak.
I can't believe I forgot that. Sorry, Mr. Pollak. Now, I've gone for a definite character actor here, much like Kevin Pollak is himself.
You agree? Yep.
I've gone with Frank Grillo,
Who's he?
In The Purge Anarchy. He's in The Grey with Liam Neeson. And he's also in Captain America Winter Soldier. He's kind of the head of the opposing SWAT team that ends up working for Hydra. He's a kind of grizzled looking guy. He's also in Warrior.
Yeah,
guy. He's the trainer.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. That's good.
I really like him.
Yeah,
but he's understated, and he's not going to take too much away from the rest of my cast. But he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, this guy's like third, fourth lead.
Yeah, easier. for sure. Apart from The Purge Anarchy and The Purge 3, which is coming out, he's not been the lead in any film as far as I'm aware.
All right.
U.S. Customs Special Agent Dave Kuyan, played by Chaz
Palminteri.
That way too. Okay, I've gone old school here.
No, you've got to go old school with this guy. Yeah. But keep going, because I love that character.
Oh, I just saw Chaz Palminteri.
Palminteri?
That one?
Yep.
In Legend with
The Kray Twins. Was he good? Was it good?
He's in a little bit. We'll talk about
it
in a future podcast. I'm going with Robert De Niro.
Bobby D?
But I don't want bad grandpa Robert De Niro.
I was thinking that.
I want him channeling Goodfellas. I want him channeling Copland. I want him channeling Backdraft.
Yeah. I'm thinking also... Look, he's a little old.
He's a little old, but I reckon he can carry it off.
No, I think... Well, yeah, if anyone could, it would be him.
Yep.
But he's got to get good again.
This is his opportunity. Maybe this is my second renaissance.
Yeah, you best choose a bit of a hard-ass director with this guy, because he's just going to fucking walk all over him.
That's true.
He's like, fuck it, I'm getting paid.
Kobayashi, now I've gone really controversial here. So we had Pete Postlethwaite.
Pete Postlethwaite. This was the toughest one for me to cast.
I've gone Elder Statesman again.
Yep, as well.
I've completely changed the ethnic origin. I'm going Morgan Freeman.
So you're making it a black movie. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. That is what happens.
Given that Kobayashi is a Japanese name.
Oh, yeah.
And they had an elder English gentleman. why not? Why can't I just have someone who's got the gravitas to carry that?
No problem at all. In fact, I was looking to put a black guy in my cast.
Huh?
I was like, nah, let's open up that market.
Oh, I like the idea we don't get stuck with
absolutely
ethnic origin. So, FBI Special Agent Jack Bayer,
mm-hmm.
who was Giancarlo Esposito?
Yep.
So, yep. William Fichtner. I'm pretty much going to cast William Fichtner in every film I ever make.
Who's he?
He is one of the great character actors of our generation. He's been in everything you've pretty much seen, including the pilot from Armageddon, who flies home. He was the bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And just so many other films that my brain's actually short-circuiting as I try to remember them.
Oh, no, he's in TV, he's in movies, he's in Entourage for a while.
He was in Entourage, yes.
Yeah, no, he's good.
So, again, I wanted someone who wasn't overbearing,
absolutely
overpowering.
Absolutely not.
I think he'll do a good...
I didn't cast that one. I didn't think it was a major character, but I guess he is.
I only cast one more person, and I only did so reluctantly, because this is very much a guy film. There was only one female character throughout the film. It's Keaton's girlfriend, Edie Finneran.
I actually really dug that actress.
Oh, what a surprise.
I like me some rangers.
You do?
That's right.
Susie Amos?
Yes.
I just wrote, who cares?
Yeah.
She pretty much... has one purpose, and that's to bust them out of,
that's right.
out
so
of the
just,
prison lineup, and then she disappears.
Yeah, just put in brackets Amy Adams.
Amy Adams, that's not bad. I actually went older because...
She should be because Keaton's older.
Keaton's older and Matthew McConaughey. I went with Maria Bello if I really, really had to.
She's great.
Hmm.
She's really great.
Okay, that's my cast.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Okay, interesting production.
And yours, sir?
Mine is, well, as follows. Now, I'll go start with verbal as well, mm-hmm. okay? And I went through a whole bunch of guys for this guy.
You looked at a lot of people?
Looked at tons of people. And I finally ended up with one guy. But here's, I'm just going to tell you the other guys that I thought of before this guy. I thought of James McAvoy.
Yeah. Okay.
And because he's short and he's like this, and I think he's got enough character to kind of be weird. I ended up a bit young, so I vetoed him, but the guy I ended up with is kind of young too. But the second guy is Ben Whishaw from Skyfall.
So cute?
Yeah, that guy. He's like weedy and nerdy and like, you know.
Very young.
Again, they're all young here.
Okay.
Except for maybe this next guy.
So that's my one problem then, because obviously Verbal Kint ends up being what he ends up being, and he's created this huge...
Well, what if he's a genius?
Well,
that
he
is somehow like, you know, at sort of the age of 14, he was sort of already...
At 14?
Yeah, it's a tough sell.
17 guys.
It's a tough sell.
All right, continue.
To that vein, Zach Braff.
Zach Braff? That's who?
It's fucking Verbal Kint.
Okay.
Do you think
these aren't the guys you've cast.
Okay, no, these aren't. This is another, sorry, I rejected. I ended up vetoing and passing on Zach Braff.
He's too funny.
The guy I ended up going with is Jesse Eisenberg.
Still young, but better than Ben Whishaw.
Yes, I believe so. So he's still young, but maybe we could age him a bit. I just want his cadence he talks with. I wanted something like that. So
that's definitely the best one.
Yeah, I think that's what I ended up with. So, but for Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the Gabriel Byrne character. I went with John Hamm.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I like
the guy's
that.
Still
That's
hot.
Good.
The guy's still doing stuff.
Yep. Very similar look.
Very similar look. So I think I was a bit with that, but I think the way he'll do it may work as well.
Yep, I like it.
Now let's get to Fred Fenster. Can I just say I fucking hate this character? Fenster was the worst thing about the Usual Suspects.
To be fair.
Yeah, Benicio del Toro. Exactly. It's shit. He's like, what the fuck are you saying? Shut up. Yeah, and he's also ridiculous. He's kind of swanning around, his hips out, and he looks funny, he talks funny. And I remember hearing, like, when the director was casting, Benicio del Toro just came up with that character. He says, I'm going to come up with a guy, and he's going to talk funny, and he's going to be this, and he's going to do that. And I was like, none of that shit worked, Benicio.
He's memorable.
He's memorable, but so is it when someone shits on your chest. It's just, you know...
Cleveland Steamer.
Cincinnati Bowtie. Call it what you will. So for this guy here, I actually don't want him to be like Benicio. If I'm casting this movie, if I'm making it, I'm going to put something different on it.
Okay.
An actor who is of similar origin, descent, who I've been enjoying lately is Michael Peña.
Okay.
Now he's shorter. He doesn't look anything like him.
Yep, I can get that. But he'd do something with it. I don't mind that one at all. Yep.
Okay, so here's where I would go with Michael McManus, or Stephen Baldwin's character.
Mm-hmm.
I say Ryan Gosling. he's a little more...
Again, very similar kind.
Yeah, he's
maybe
a little,
not... Maybe
he's a bigger guy. He's a bigger guy. He's better looking. Again, that's why I say, like, because you've cast a good-looking guy. I cast a guy who's known for his looks, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that's good.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And then for Kevin Pollak, I couldn't go past this. Is actually Jonah Hill. It's the first thing I thought of.
Jonah Hill, man.
It's the first thing.
You definitely younged your cast down.
I have, and I think that's going to play to a bigger audience.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But
the only thing you have to buy is that there's...
They're all hardened criminals.
Yeah,
28, and being
30-year-olds are all these hardened criminals. But that's all right. You're sell it to a bigger audience. Your movie would make more money than my movie so far.
Well, we'll see. It'll certainly cost more. These guys do not come
true.
Cheap.
Yep.
Then for Dave Kujan, Chaz Palminteri's character, I went with Jeff Bridges.
Yep.
You know why? Because fucking Jeff Bridges, man.
Yep. Say no more.
Put that guy in there. Yeah,
as long as it's Jeff Bridges not phoning it in, it'll be great.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. No. And Kobayashi, I struggled with this one.
Mm.
And the guy I came up with, again, a bit younger, is Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Yes, he's white. Yes, he's UK. But yep, I thought his sort of stringiness, even though he's not a tall guy, and his slightly weirdness, he could be smug about the fact that I know where all your family lives, and if you try to fuck with me... I might just...
Mr. Soze would like to inform you.
Yes, exactly. All that shit. Mm-hmm. I think he would do it because he's a smarmy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my list, man. That's,
that's good. Good list. I like it. There we go. I think that's been a pretty good second segment version of Cool for Cast.
Yeah.
But let's have the originators list. So Roscoe wrote to me and let me know his usual suspect list. He was pretty happy with the concept of this film. So I'm going to read it to you directly from what he wrote to me. Verbal, Ed Norton.
Good. That's actually pretty good. That's really good.
Keaton, Christoph Waltz.
Yeah. Okay.
Hockney, Ryan Reynolds, who, he says, will be in every hypothetical film I ever recast.
Ryan Reynolds?
He loves Ryan Reynolds.
I love Ryan Reynolds. I don't know if he's right for this role, but okay. Let's just see how it goes.
Fenster, Dwayne Johnson. Just kidding.
What the fuck?
Oscar Isaac, is it? He literally...
Oh, yeah.
That's good. I like
him. Oscar, he was someone I considered as well. Yeah. He is awesome.
A good decision there. McManus, Chris Pratt, man of the moment in every film. So I can see where Ross is going there.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's a good call.
Yeah. Kobayashi, Sam Elliott. Now, that's a man who hasn't popped up in a long, long time.
Hey, if he's still alive, he could probably kill
this. And finally, Agent Kuyan, Donald Logue.
Oh, really? From fucking Gotham?
Yes. Bullock, whatever his name is.
Anything that gets him out of that shitty-ass movie show.
There we go. Thank you, Roscoe.
Thank you.
I believe in doing your research for today's segment,
I found out
you found that Bryan Singer actually answered this exact same question.
That's right. And there was when was the usual suspects, 95?
Yeah.
So they had a 20-year anniversary, and someone asked him on Twitter, who would you cast today?
Okay.
And here is his list, which is a little surprising, I think. He says Keaton, he would go Chris Hemsworth.
Wow, that's young.
See, he's going young too.
Yes.
McManus, someone named Dane DeHaan.
Yeah, from Chronicle.
Ah! Oh! Okay.
The weedy guy, the bad guy.
Actually, that's not bad. That's not bad. I would almost go... Okay, here. Hockney? He said Jonah Hill.
Wow, you guys
and I guarantee you, I thought of mine before I read this. So, you know, there's that.
Well, he thought of it first, but you didn't check it before.
I mean, he did make the movie. But, yeah. Fenster? This is a good one. I like this one. I wish I thought of this one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
if you're going that age range, yep.
Yeah, so he's pulling it that way. He said for Edie, the girl... Mm. Jennifer Lawrence?
That's stunt. Feels stunt casting to me.
Do you... Really?
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence in it for three scenes to cuddle with... Who did he have again as Keaton? Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
And then disappear from the film? Yeah, whatever.
Hey, man, I smell fucking dollar bills. Mm. But yeah, okay. He says Kobayashi, Michael Fassbender.
Yep. Considered him... I actually considered him for Keaton, to be honest.
He'd make a good Keaton, too. I reckon he'd make a good Keaton. A little skinny, but could make a good Keaton. Kuyan, Edward James Olmos.
Oh, okay.
The left field, I don't understand that.
Sorry, I know you made the film Singer, but I disagree.
And Verbal, this is good, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, that works.
Because that's getting greenlit by the studio, that motherfucker's hot now. So, that was it. So,
nice,
yeah,
that was nice.
That's pretty cool. A bit of validation.
Yeah. There's our Cool for Cast. Thank you, Roscoe, for the idea, and hope you've enjoyed our discussion about that.
Yeah, so is there anything that any movie you'd like to see us recast, please shoot that shit through, man.
Yeah, fire us up, tweet on Twitter or a message on Facebook, and we will run with it from there. Now, before we go any further, we should talk a little bit about Pod and Family, hashtag Pod and Family on Twitter, which is a group of independent podcasts that have gotten together to help promote one another. Now, when I say Podden Family, I'm talking about Modern Family with a P at the front, just in case anyone's wondering how you...
P-O-D-E-N-N or something. Yeah,
Podden. Exactly. Family. There's some wonderful podcasts on there, and a couple of those follow this.
Poop culture, yeah, poop culture. Poop culture, yeah, it's a poop culture. poop culture, it's a culture shock. Listen in, it will make your world rock. Laugh and cry and cringe and blush with the Booby Brothers and the Man Crush. Poop culture, yeah, poop culture. Poop culture, yeah, poop culture. Poop culture, yeah, poop culture. Poop, listen in to the poop culture.
What up, everybody? It's Razor.
This is Fear.
And MDI.
And we are FIFCast, the premier show of the FYFC Podcast Network.
We like to talk. Hell, we'll talk about anything.
World events and personal stories.
Technology and pop culture.
And once even, pterodactyl porn. Seriously, that's a thing. Google it.
New episodes are available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Also, subscribe to the video podcast on youtube.com/FYFC podcasts.
I'm not sure why you were yelling, but that was excellent.
Now, fuck your face and back to the show.
We said normal voice.
I don't sure I like that one. We're freaking awesome.
Hello again, friend of a friend. I knew you were.
Our next segment today involves us talking about the best songs by an actor in a movie, and the only way that we can possibly cover such a broad topic like this is if we welcome on the people that suggested it. It's Gareth and Bex from Gareth Random Ramblings. Gareth and Bex, welcome to the countdown.
Hey, thank you very much for having us, guys. This is awesome.
This is awesome.
It is great to have people here. Okay, you're not Australians, let's just establish that right off the bat. You're both from New Zealand. But you now reside in Australia.
I'm brown, so I'm really with those guys. So, yes.
We're foreigners taking over the world, man. That's it, basically. We're doing it.
Have you been in Brisbane for long?
We've been two years. So yeah. We still haven't got the Australian twang yet, but we still get weird looks when we say to people, I'm just going to put my jandals on. Because they have no idea what we're saying. And they're like, it's thongs. That's women's underwear. We're not putting women's underwear on our feet. Thank you very much.
You can get that at the dairy, right?
The Americans would totally, the Americans would totally agree with you about the whole jangle. Well, maybe not jangles, but thongs thing.
Jangles. So.
So. All right. Well, look, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for giving up your evening to do this. You are a couple of hours ahead of us in time.
And on the worst internet connection ever, so it's great. It's great.
Let's hope the connection holds up. So without any further ado, we should get into then our top 10 best songs by an actor in a movie. And that was, I don't know if it was yours, Justin, Gareth, or Bex, but why don't you guys lead off with your number 10s first of all?
Okie dokie. Well, my number 10 is Anne Hathaway.
In Les Mis?
Yeah. No. She did a movie back in the early 2000s called El Enchanted. And she actually does a cover of Find Me Someone to Love by Queen.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
She covered
that song.
Just so you guys know, I don't know what her list is. She doesn't know what my list
is.
Same
with us.
So this is... she covered Queen.
Yeah, she did a cover of Queen. It was good.
Would kill it. She's quite a talented songstress.
Yeah, but you got to admit, that takes a lot of... Well, I don't know what the woman's equivalent is, but it takes a lot of balls to sing Queen.
Oh, yeah.
That's... Damn.
Yes. Honestly, very challenging.
A lot of claim.
100% right. 100% claim. I wasn't going there, but well done, Wade.
Okay, you know it's going to get nasty. Very good. You know what? I like Anne Hathaway. My girlfriend does not, but I do. So there you go.
My number 10 is a strange person, but hey, I don't care. Bruce Willis.
What?
He sang? Where?
Yes. He sang in the Rugrats movie. I would think it was the Rugrats. I think the Rugrats in the Wild Meet the Wild Thornberrys or whatever.
Nice.
He played Spike the dog. And so when they met him, he started singing the song. And it was just like, so strange to hear Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker singing the song about, I'm a dog, this is amazing, look at me. Oh, great. I can't remember the words, obviously.
Right.
But it was just one of those, okay, cool.
There you go.
This is where we're going.
Alright, nice. I had no idea he sang in that. I did know he supposedly thinks he can sing, but
yeah, no,
obviously
he
puts more effort into singing than he does into acting these
days.
Yep.
Alright, my number 10 is straight out of, maybe, left field's not the right word, but it is Adam Sandler in The Wedding Singer singing Grow Old With You.
Oh no, that was a good performance.
No, can that one. Come on. It's the other one. It's the one about the Cure song.
Somebody went researching and I found this one and I watched it and I was like, oh, that's nice. That'll do. There's my number two.
No, in terms of, because the other one, the one that the Cure song one that he did, that was really like, nah, 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 kill yeah. me. And so this, the one you
chose.
It was
like, you broke my heart. It's so very bad. Oh, somebody kill me, please.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Amazing.
That's a pretty good effort.
Awesome. Actually, yeah, quite close.
All right. That's my number 10.
Sorry for blowing up people's speakers.
No, sorry. So, my number 10 is Will Ferrell and company in Anchorman. Singing Afternoon Delight. That scene is good. That scene is wicked. And they actually kind of killed it. So, you know, big fan.
All right. Nice.
Over to you guys for number 9, Bex.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so bad at this. Okay, so my number 9 is actually two people because it's all in one song.
Yeah.
And I've got Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke with Chim Chim Marie from Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah, they sound so impressed. But, I mean, it's not the best song in the world, but they're pretty good singers, so I quite enjoyed it.
Back in the day when you had to actually sing.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Couldn't have auto-tune, it was just,
yeah.
You can't sing, bad point. Luck.
That's no, I'm point. Always impressed yeah. when actors yeah. can sing, and it used to be a thing, but now it's rarer.
Yep.
Yeah.
For very good reason, let's face it.
Yeah.
Nice pick.
My number 9 is Huey Lewis, and for some reason in my head I was like, he's sung in Back to the Future, but he didn't. He actually just sung the theme song.
Yes.
So I was sitting there going, what song did... I know he sung with something else. What was the one he used to play on the radio all the time? And it was the one where he's the with Gwyneth Paltrow. And they sung Cruising.
So technically, would you not be saying this is Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes.
And not Huey Lewis? Because Huey Lewis is a musician
He's
first.
A musician first, yeah. So it's really That's Gwyneth.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
No, you said number 9 is Huey Lewis.
Yeah, your number 9 is actually Gwyneth.
No,
your number 9 is
Gwyneth. Play the tape back. Play the tape back. You'll see I said my number 9 is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Oh, I'm that's okay because maybe my confusion comes from the simple fact that my number 9 is also Gwyneth Paltrow. And
there
Huey Lewis doing duets. So there you go.
Well, that's on my there list, but it's a lot fucking higher than number 9.
Oh, well, that's very sad, Wayne.
Gwyneth is awesome, man.
No, okay, can we just retract that statement?
What?
Gwyneth is awesome, maybe singing in this movie.
That's right.
She is worth nothing but eye rolls and ire for the rest of her life and our...
No, she's done some good things. No. You didn't like Seven with her head in the thing. And
she shits me to tears.
But I was so impressed with this because Gwyneth's voice was so good, I didn't expect it. And then it was killing. I actually have that song on my iPod. So, you know, that's great. That's
no one,
right.
No one has an iPod anymore.
Okay, iPhone pod thing. No, that's down. That's down.
We used to play it on our radio station all the time. And when it first came out,
awesome.
I was like, yeah, this is cool. This is fine.
Yeah.
But when you've heard it 4 times in 4 hours, you're just like, you know what? I've had enough of the song now. It's fine. It's fine.
All right, you're number 9.
My number 9 is friggin' Marty McFly or Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future, where he sings Johnny Be Good.
Did he actually
he
sing
He actually sang it.
Because I looked into that.
I looked into it too, motherfucker. I don't know where you're getting your
source. IMDb for the win. That's it.
His vocals were there, and he's actually performed that song live.
Okay.
So, all right, if you know, and he plays live. As well. He
and
plays.
He played Joe
he plays.
Good?
I don't know if he played right. in that movie, but he does play.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'll give you that. I honestly thought that was just like him, you know, someone else had sung for him, and he just started singing to it, you know. Like
it does sort of appear that way. I think he didn't sing it live in the show, but he pre-recorded it. That was his voice.
I was going to say, you've watched all the behind the scenes of that, how he was shooting Family Ties, and then go to the night and do Back to the Future, then go back during the day and do the TV show, and then back.
Yeah, because they fired Eric Stoltz. Yeah, totally.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, so our number 8.
I think you're going to be disappointed with my number 8 again. Okay, so obviously I chose Britney Spears. Now, before you say she was a musician,
obviously
she
you
wasn't.
Chose Britney Spears.
What? She wasn't?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
She was not. She was in the Mouseketeers before she was a musician.
Ooh.
She was a teenager when she started singing.
Let's play the technical card. I think that may
it's
pass.
It's still a TV show.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough then. Yep.
Anyway, so the movie I chose was her one and only, and that was Crossroads, and she wrote the song I'm Not a Girl, which I quite like myself, but then again, I'm a teeny bopper, so what can I say?
Oh, I'm a teeny bopper.
Way more teeny bop you out of the stadium. Yeah.
I understand that. Okay, all right. I did not even think of that, so there you are.
Mm. my number 8, I have chosen Harry Connick Jr., Now, before you go, he was very much an actor as well as a musician. He kind of was trying to do both at the same time.
Which was he first, Gareth? Which was he first?
He was an actor. I looked this up. He was an actor first. His first album came out like 2 years after his first acting role.
Wait, what was his first acting role?
I can't remember. Okay. We've got crap internet, okay? It was the internet. I swear. But it was like a bit part. So technically, that one may not make it onto the list or should be on the list. But it's
okay.
Legit.
Few technicalities.
Kind of.
We'll let you slide because you're guessing. It's nice. To
yeah. If it was Wayne, it'd be like, no, motherfucker, that list is gone.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, my number eight is only eight. Number eight because of the context. It's Tim Blake Nelson in Oh Brother We're Out There singing in the jailhouse.
Hey. Now, he's the only guy actually who actually sang this.
Yes.
But George Clooney and John Turturro lip synced everything in this movie. So he's the only voice you hear in this film that's legitimate. And I think on that alone, what is apparently a very hard genre, if I can call it that,
no,
of
it
music
is.
To sleep.
Absolutely. Which is why I know everyone else said too. Yeah. No, totally.
He gets in there at number eight.
Okay. My number eight is a really weird one. It's Colin Farrell in a movie called Crazy Heart.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a Jeff Bridges movie. Yeah, it's Jeff Bridges' movie. Now, if you ever look at this performance, it's actually nuts how good his voice is. It's kind of country, western kind of what he's doing, but he's really, really killing it. So,
okay. I've never seen his
No,
movie.
It's a real
Neither
obscure
have
one.
And I did consider Jeff Bridges as, but then I listened to a couple of tracks of the song, I went, nah.
No, he's actually not that good, even though he does also play. We are back to Banks.
Okay, so my number seven is Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, what did she do?
Walk the Line?
She was on Walk the Line. Yeah, she was June Carter Cash. And her song was Wildwood Flower.
Okay. No, that was good. I loved that movie, and I was crazy impressed that those people sang their own stuff.
Embarrassing admission.
You haven't seen it?
It was a great movie.
Never
Apparently,
seen it.
Joaquin Phoenix hated Reese Witherspoon's voice in the movie. They had real trouble working together because he just couldn't stand her voice.
I'm trying to remember.
Good stand of voice.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how, because I remember him, not so much her, but, you know, it was, that was a great ass movie. Polly, you should definitely check it out.
Well, maybe you should do something about it.
I've never seen it.
I shall.
Yeah. Never seen it. Never seen it.
You're with me, Gareth. All right, cool. Your number seven then, sir.
I've got two, because same movie, so.
Okay.
Hey, yep. Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman.
Dude, I got that for my number seven.
There you go. Boom.
I just said Ewan McGregor, though, because I like his thing better. But, like, go on. Yeah, please.
I enjoyed the medley of songs, even though it was kind of weird how they put the two together, but it was cool. But I really, really enjoyed his version of Your Song from Elton John.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Bex can vouch for this. Sometimes I'll be walking around the house singing it as loud as I can. And then I'll make it look like I'm singing it to her. And then I'll look at, like, the couch on the you know, the couch or the pillows or the cat. And Bex is just like, oh, that's so loud. Fuck you. Sing that song to me. Sing it to me. I'm your fiance. And I'm just like, no, I'm really enjoying this apple pie. It's great. So, who knows?
He's a shit.
No, I agree. That was, I like the main title song that they did together. I actually had that on my iPad or gramophone, if you will, before. No, I'm totally down with that number seven.
It's over to me for my number seven. It's a little embarrassing, mainly because of this, of the movie, but it's also a little embarrassing because of I've never seen the whole film itself. It is Anna Kendrick singing in Pitch Perfect what is called Cups.
I love that.
When I'm Gone.
I love that.
No, that's my number six.
Okay, sorry. Really? I haven't seen that movie, but I saw that bit.
I took Bex to go see that in the movie theater, and it was like, fine, I'll go. This is stupid. It's a chick flick, whatever. Enjoyed myself.
Yeah,
really
I've always wanted to see the show. I have not seen the whole thing, but
do not, for the love of God, do not see the sequel.
What's wrong?
There's only like one line in it that's funny. The whole time I'm sitting there going, this is going to be a. This sucks.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
You would, because you're a chick, and it's made for you. So what's up?
Yeah. All right, so that's our sevens. Over to you guys for your number sixes.
Okie dokie. Mine is Hilary Duff.
Yeah, Hilary Duff. What did she do?
She was in a movie called Raise Your Voice, and the song is of the same title. It's actually, I don't know. I mean, I'm a girl, so I cry my heart out when I watch it. It's quite a sad movie, but it's a really cool movie too. It's quite uplifting, but it's basically aimed at teenagers. But then again, I was a teenager when it came out, so there you go.
Fair enough. It's
no,
but good boy.
So what's the equivalent of a female nostalgia boner?
Nostalgic
just don't
sweet
answer
loaf.
That.
All right.
Yeah, no. Keep it clean. Family show, kind of. Keep it clean.
Well, we know Gareth's number.
Yeah, so your number six.
Number
was,
six. I'm out.
Yep,
Anna Kendrick.
Right. Over to me then. My number six is from a man who is better, arguably almost better known for his musical career now, at least in my world, but he started out as an actor. It is Jack Black in High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Singing. Oh, yeah. Let's get it on.
That is so on my list because it was so impressive when he kicked it out. I'm like, holy shit.
He's got a great voice.
He has got a great voice.
Say what you will about his acting choices.
I don't mind Jack Black. You don't like him.
No, come on. Gulliver Travels.
I didn't see
Gulliver's Travels, sorry. As one example.
Yeah, he's done some shit, but everyone's done some shit.
No, no, he's done some shit.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I love that.
That film is a great movie, and that's a great scene in a great movie. My number six.
Perfect ending to that movie. All right,
I haven't seen that movie.
What? Oh, come on!
Oh, High Fidelity. No, you got to see that, man.
Come on, nuts! You've got to see that movie.
I have a feeling we're never going to be invited back to this podcast ever again. Like, I haven't seen that movie. What the fuck?
You'd be surprised at what he hasn't seen. To be honest.
Now, I just did drop. Apparently, your nickname, Gareth Nuts. Is that right?
Hey, that's the one.
Yes. Congratulations, man.
I may have congratulations.
Yeah, if your name is Nuts, you must have some big ass balls.
I did have a little birdie that got in my ear and suggested that I should drop this into the podcast. So, Mike Jollets from the Mike Jollets Show, shout out to you.
Do you want to tell that story?
Do you want to
really
know
quick?
How I got
Go
that
on,
nickname?
Do it.
Yeah, okay. So this isn't anything to do with the list, but it's fine. I used to work in a tire place. So I had like the big ZZ Top beard, big and bulked and everything else like that. It was fine. The first week that I was there, I burnt my fingers on the car nuts, you know, as you're taking off the tires.
Yep.
I had three tires bounce and hit me in the genitals. it gets better. It gets much better.
Go on.
You had little tire rod things, which you meant to take the tire off the hubcap and everything. Yeah, they got introduced to my balls. And the worst one, if they got stuck on, you had a sledgehammer. Yeah. And we were trying to get it to come off, and I stood behind someone at the wrong time, and as I swung back, I had a sledgehammer to my nuts.
Oh.
So, hence the nickname, Nuts. So,
well played, sir.
That's
if anyone's ever earned a nickname, it's you.
That would be it.
Nuts have, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That was good. And they're fine. So
okay, well, glad to hear about them nuts.
All right. Well, thanks to Mike Jollets for that, because that painful, empathetic, I'll say that word.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. Yeah. Nut shot. There we go. Done.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
my number six is Kevin Spacey.
What?
Kevin Spacey.
I'm gonna stop saying it.
Killed.
Please explain. Yeah.
Yes, in a movie called Beyond the Sea, where he was playing Bobby Darin. Somewhere.
I've not seen that.
I love see. You know that song?
No.
Yep.
Freak. I don't know where you brew up, Paul.
Who sings it?
Bobby Darin initially, but Kevin Spacey sings this. So
I'm still clueless.
He kills it, man. He kills it. That's a little passion project he did. But
basically, if you've seen Finding Nemo, the last song on it, which is sung by Robbie Williams, is Beyond the Sea. Okay. And they've been using that song in all the trailers for Finding Nemo, Finding Dory.
Yes.
It's the same song. And it's a great song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
All right, nice. All right, well, thank you for your education. Go ahead, back to Bex for number five.
Yeah, no, I'm going back to my Kiwi roots for this one.
Dave Dobbin.
what? You're a Kiwi? What?
I was a Kiwi before you, Brady. Anyway.
Hey, don't you be back in Slice of Heaven, man. Come on.
I'm not talking about that one. Okay, so this guy, there's two of them, but I'm going to just talk about one of them. Jermaine Clement. If you guys know who he is, he is in the Muppets Most Wanted movie. But we're going back to their New Zealand movie, a TV show called The Flight of the Conchords, which is epic. The song I've chosen is Business Time.
Oh brilliant.
Yeah.
Really hang on, wait.
Yeah, that was good. Business Time rocks.
Yeah, Bex finds the original song fantastic, but when I'm singing it to her before we try and get down to dirty, she's like, no, that's inappropriate. I don't care if you know your socks. Come on.
Because you know what I'm getting in my socks is type of business. It's one called Business Socks. Ooh.
Although my favourite line from that song is the business hours are over, baby. Like, we're done. I'm going to sleep now. Business hours are over. I'm just saying. Good
night. Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, it's such a good song. We can't help but love it. Thank you, Bex.
Thank you very much.
Number five for me.
Yep.
Meatloaf.
Oh, Meatloaf was an artist first, surely.
Meatloaf he was definitely a singer first.
No, he was an actor first.
No.
Once again. He was on stage. He was on stage first.
I'm about to throw my headphones down and stop.
Okay, fine. Well, I had Meatloaf anyway. I thought it was cool because...
Why? What song?
Which one? Which song?
Which one would you like? The Tenacious D one or the one from Rocky?
Rocky
Horror,
Rocky?
Sorry?
You sang in Rocky?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I forgot that.
I'm like,
you know, normal people call
Meatloaf?
It... He comes and busts me out singing, Adjana. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, it's me.
Is
arguably the sexiest performance on my list. It's okay. Brie Larson in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Really?
Yeah, covering Metric's Black Sheep.
Yeah, I saw that one. I love that movie, but it didn't do a thing for me. I love that movie.
It's a good performance of a pretty... I never heard the song before the film, mm-hmm. but it's now on my iTunes playlist.
Wow.
Not Brie Larson's, but the original. It's hot. Yeah. She's, you know, probably not my bag normally, but she's attractive in this. That's yeah, yeah, what it was about, though. Her voice is sultry and it delivers...
Okay.
Massively, yeah.
All right, I'm a little surprised. A little surprised.
I'm trying to envisage who you're talking about. I'm not entirely sure I know who Brie Larson is.
Brandon Ruth's girlfriend. It's Brandon Ruth playing the bass, I think, maybe yes. guitar in that scene, and she's singing, and Scott Pilgrim's in the crowd with his girlfriend, and she's like, "Oh, that's another ex," and he's like, "No," and they end up fighting. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I would sing it, but I just would break everyone's...
Yeah, no, we wouldn't know what he's talking about.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Thank you. This has already been flagged for content ID straight away with my band singing, so sorry.
They all do. My number five is actually Oscar Isaac from the movie Inside Llewelyn Davis.
I thought this might make your list, yeah.
Because he's so fucking good. Yeah. Now, I'm sure he's obviously an old school, you know, musician himself, but he was known to be an actor first.
Definitely actor first.
And his voice and playing ability is actually as good as I've seen it, just about. So, very impressed. If you haven't seen Inside Llewelyn Davis, you have to be kind of a music buff to like that kind of folksy, but it's a real good performance. It's a big surprise, too.
Nice.
All right.
Worth having a look at, yeah.
Definitely.
Number fours.
Number four for Bex.
For me, Jason Segel.
Oh.
Or Jason Segel.
Oh, yeah. No, in
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Nope.
No.
No.
No, Muppets, no, no. Please, I was going to say, please just say Sarah Marshall. Because I like
Do you want me
Muppets.
To say Sarah Marshall?
I've already got him as number four in the Muppets.
So okay, fine. Okay, fine.
No, no, we'll say what it was. Say what it was.
Is it Muppets?
Yeah, it was the Muppets. Yeah. The same. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. You guys are like, should be together and
stuff. Yeah, and stuff. Yeah, that's good.
Actually, this is the first time we've had one that I've had one that you've had or somebody else has had.
Yeah, my number four, funnily enough, once again, Amy Adams. And Jason Segel.
Well, yeah, so there we go. They're both.
Oh, okay, nice. Same song. What's the song?
The song that they did was called Life's a Happy Song.
The one I was thinking
at the beginning.
Of was...
But also Jason Segel did Man or Muppet, the Oscar-winning song.
That's the song I was thinking of.
Written by Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
So there you go.
Okay. Yeah,
that's the one I was thinking
of. New Zealand...
so far, the New Zealand segment of the show. Yeah, we're done. Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. Over to you, Polly.
Nice pick. My number four is Val Kilmer in The Doors.
He sang that.
Really?
He sang every song and he did it. And then I watched a YouTube video behind the scenes where he's literally performing with the raw sound, and it's frightening. Apparently, he got so into this Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
He actually thought he was Jim
Morrison. Yeah, I know. I've read that as well. Okay.
I like the fact that they played it for the director, and the director couldn't tell who was who.
Yeah, exactly. So
I was all me, actually.
So the movie was, in the movie itself, they mixed between their re-recorded versions and the original.
Oh.
And it's almost indistinguishable.
That is pretty impressive. All right.
Yeah. It also makes it really weird, though, when you think that's Batman.
Yes, absolutely.
Batman singing Jim Morrison.
And now a very fat, sad old man.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
Time is something kind. But what are you going to do? Well, my number four is a little bit weird. It is Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a movie called 500 Days of Summer. And he actually does a lot of dancing and that sort of thing in the movie and stuff. But the thing that I liked was when he got wasted and did a Pixies song.
Which one was it?
Here Comes Your Man. And Here Comes Your Man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he's doing that, like, on the karaoke mic. And he is a musician anyway in his other career, but he is surprisingly good. He really kind of... And he's also playing drunk, but it still sounds good. So that's not bad.
I like that movie. It's one of the only romantic comedies I just...
Yeah, you like that movie? That movie's great, man. Yeah, okay.
I ironically had him as number five, and I culled him out for Meatloaf. So,
Headphones
are flying. Yeah, no. But I was going to say though, if he recently made an appearance in, we keep going back to the Muppets. I'm a fucking child. It's fine. But the
Lady
Muppets
Gaga?
TV show. No, with Miss Piggy.
Oh,
he did he did a song with Miss Piggy. It was like their Christmas one. And yeah, you're like, why is Joseph Gordon-Levitt about to? Holy crap! He can sing.
He can sing.
That's amazing. Well done.
All right. Well, we are back to.
Bex for our number threes.
Okay, my number three is Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
also from 500 Days of Summer?
Yeah, but not from that one. I actually did it from the movie Elf with... what's his name?
I came across this. Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yep.
Will Ferrell, that's the one. But it, the song she sung was Baby, It's Cold Outside. That song gave me chills. She has got such a gorgeous voice.
No, she has got a crazy good voice.
Band as well, right?
She is in a band now.
Is
she
in him or something?
Cool. Is it? Oh, I don't know. But every time she sings, I actually want to hear it because she is so good. That's a good choice.
Nice pick.
Thank you.
Okay, my number three, Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover.
Oh, yeah, that's my number two.
Both an amazing
rapper.
Number
two, Bex.
Singers, chorus.
That's my number two.
That's number two. Swiped it. but no, he would sing little bits in Community. You know, just like little fun parts. And then you hear his album and his rap songs, and you're just like, okay, damn. And one of the songs he says, why does every black actor seem to have a rap song? All I know is I'm the fucking best one at it or something. And it's like, yeah, fair enough. You pretty much are. This is very good. Nice. Very good. So...
All right,
there's your rap critique for the week.
That's a good pick.
All right, this is my most shameful moment of the countdown, and I wanted to not put this in there, and I wanted to put it number 10, but let's be honest, it is a triumphant singing performance.
All right.
It's John Travolta in Grease.
Tell me more.
He is good.
I fucking hate this movie.
Good.
And I hate that the soundtrack's played at every wedding ever. By the way, is it going to be on your soundtrack at your wedding?
Yeah, before you bag it.
Absolutely not.
Grease mega notes.
That's amazing.
Right after YMCA, it'd be fine.
Anyway, look, he is amazing, and he is an actor first, and then a musician second. John was a musician first, and an actor second. You can tell in the movie.
It's legitimate.
Anyway, I don't like Grease at all. It bores the fuck
out
of me.
It's all right, Paul, man. It's a valid and wonderful choice.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway, that's my number three. Over to you, Wayne.
Okay, don't get me wrong. You're going to shit all over my ass, fine. But, my number three is Joaquin Phoenix in Waterline.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was just crazy. So he sounds kind of the same as Johnny Cash. So we're back to Bex.
All right, business end of the countdown. Number twos.
Not me. Go ahead, Childish Gambino.
Oh, that's
Gareth,
right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Gareth's turn.
Gareth?
All right, well, we wrote this list, and I've messed this one up immensely. But I had David Bowie. Because I was like, yep, but then as you realise, he's a musician that went into an actor and was just an all-round legend.
I don't think Paul could have
figured
that one. Go on.
Because I almost had a heart attack.
All-round legend, so that's fine. May he rest in peace. Mm. But what we'll do now is I'll take that one out, and I'll actually put in Captain America, Chris Evans.
Oh, this is good. This is good. Go on, let me hear it.
Drop the bomb. Drop the bomb.
That's nice.
He did a movie called Not Another Teen Movie, which if you haven't seen, you need to fucking see it.
That was
his
first movie, man. It was the first time I saw him. I saw that in the movies.
Yep. Yeah, you watch it going, this is Captain America? What the hell?
No, that's a really good choice. That is a really good
choice. May or may not have been the first movie I ever got my hands on by non-legal means.
Yeah.
It's a very funny movie. And, they did a song and they're called Prom Tonight where they all singing about how they're all going to the prom and taking the piss out of everything. Yeah,
that's right. That was a good
bit. It's hilarious, hilarious song.
What about Aerosmith's Janie's Got a Gun?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, that's actually that was really good. You got to see this movie, Paul. That's actually good shit in there. He starts singing Jenny's got a gun in front of a thing, and everyone's like, oh my god, someone's got a gun! It becomes like a terrorist thing.
I have limited hours of my life.
Okay, fine. Fucker. So.
Alright, so it's over to me. My number two. This may make a few people surprised or spew.
Alright.
My number two is from the movie Frozen. It is Kristen Bell through the whole film. She is an actress first, by a million miles, and she didn't even know she could sing, apparently, when she auditioned for this, and she nails it.
Is she Elsa? Or
no, what? Anna.
Anna.
And how would you not know that, Wayne? Oh, wait, you don't have a daughter.
That's right, I've never seen Frozen. I've heard all about it.
I have seen most of this film about a million times over, and what sells it for me and why she gets number two is... the Do You Want to Build a Snowman song in the very early part of the film. She plays three different ages. She plays like 5, about 10, and then about 15.
Huh.
And
I didn't know
she totally sells all of them. I honestly thought, especially the 5-year-old, was sung by someone else.
Very impressive. Mm. Voice modulation.
I honestly didn't know that. I've got 4 nieces and I did not know that.
No. And also, we don't really have kids here either yet.
No, but you're a nanny. I would have thought you've watched this 4 million times over, Bex.
No. See, by the time that movie came out, I had a little boy to look after, so I missed out on that one.
Well played. But you are intimately familiar with all things cars.
Yes.
Yeah. She just hates it when she comes home and I start singing like a little boy going, do you want to better
stop,
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 yeah,
stop.
That can get creepy. I
freaks
totally
the living
well done,
snot
just
out of
broken her. The creeper meter. Oh,
you're welcome. Thank you very much. We're never coming back. Yeah,
fair enough.
Okay. You're number two, dude.
My number two is, well, we mentioned it, Jack Black and High Fidelity.
Oh, okay.
That's how much I like
that.
Yep. Not at all. That's fine.
Here it is, then. Our number one, the best songs by an actor in a movie.
Okay, my number one is Rebel Wilson from Pitch Perfect. Yeah, Pitch Perfect 2.
Two,
not the first one, the second one, because she doesn't really have a solo in the first movie. In the second one, she does this solo to We Belong, and she's singing to Adam Devine from Workaholics.
Oh, the Pat Benatar song. Yes, I love that song. Yes.
It's funny because she sees him from across the lake or something and starts singing to him and all this stuff. And at one point, she gets out of the boat and starts walking towards her in this car, cuts her off. And goes, meh. And so the song stops and she's like, what? I'm trying to sing here. I'm monologuing, singing. Get out of the way. And then the car moves away and she goes,
dick. Yeah, whatever.
And then just cracks straight back into it again.
Like, is that like the only good part of that movie?
No, there's much more.
The only other part that I like is Rebel Wilson. She's standing at a campfire and she says something to people and she goes, I'm really sorry, especially to you two, because I just crop dusted you. And then carries on. That's the only part of the movie I laughed because she just says
jokes,
it's so
funny.
Sus, lovely. And I was just like, that's the one laugh. That's it. Done.
I love that movie. It was great.
All right. Thank you, Bex.
Thank you, Gareth.
Gareth, what's yours? Number one.
Oh. I really wanted to say Will Smith, but he was definitely an actor first. So what I'm going to go with is one of the most controversial choices of all time, but I'll stick with it. Pierce Brosnan from Mamma Mia.
You are fucking shitting me.
I am shitting you. I am shitting you.
That's a mention for me.
I am shitting you completely. That's the fucking worst singing ever in a movie. Excellent. Ever.
I had a heart attack.
I was wondering how I could get into that and make it sound reasonable.
No, never again. My true number one, Hugh Jackman from Les Mis.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was going to do another Russell Crowe, but once again, he sucks as well.
Oh. He's yours, by the way. He's not ours.
No, he's yours. No, you can gladly have him.
But no, Hugh Jackman, like, obviously, coming from, he can sing, he can dance, he can act, all that kind of stuff. But it's really funny seeing Wolverine all of a sudden start crying about him being in a boat with water, and it's really good. Really good singing. So that's my number one. If I can't have Will Smith, I'll have Hugh Jackman.
Well,
wait.
I'm looking at you all this way, and maybe you should give your number one before I give my number one.
Okay.
That's already been said.
Fine. My number one is was Gwyneth Paltrow in Duets. Cause that shit was off the chain. What? There you go.
Well, I felt bad shoehorning in at number nine.
It's your number one, son. It's the best performance in a movie.
Well, no. The best performance in a movie is this.
Bring it.
Number one, the best song by an actor in a movie is by Antonio Banderas film Desperado.
That's a really, really good call.
Where he absolutely slays El Cancion del Mariachi with the backing music.
I should have thought of this. That was a fucking great choice.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Up. Yep.
Yeah, you're right. That was so good. I want to shoot my pants.
Drop the mic. Good night.
Yep. No, well done, Paul. By the time you made a good call.
This has been a lot of fun. Thank you very
thank
much,
you
Gareth,
much.
And thanks for joining us.
Thank you so
thank
very
you
much
for
letting us join you. It has been a lot of fun. And bit of controversy there, but nah, it's fun.
Always how it
it's
goes.
Always a bit of controversy. That's what the countdown is pretty much all about.
Yeah, so just for our listeners, what is your countdown call again?
Show.
Your show. What did your show call again? Well, you get this up. Go on.
I was just, as you can probably guess from how much I've been talking, my show is called Gareth's Random Ramblings.
Right.
And I've been doing it for about the last 6 years, so that's why Paul Bex's name's not on the title, because
I
was doing it before I started dating her. So,
I did try to add your, in Twitter, Bex, your, but I couldn't find your handle on Twitter anywhere, so...
Oh, at Bex131.
Yeah, at Bex131 is hers. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, just I told Gareth the other day that because my name's not on the podcast, he has to take my name when we get married.
Sorry,
and
the mic just
Gareth,
broke then.
Did you agree?
The mic broke then. I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear what she said. I'm sorry. It must be the internet.
Right,
yeah, it's the internet here. Yeah.
That's the way to play it, my man.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Is there anywhere that people can find you in particular?
We're on Spreaker and we're also on iTunes as well. Or you can check out our website, which is garethsrandomramblings.space. Not because I know anything about space. It was just a shitload cheaper than .com. So, there you go.
Excellent. Nothing like a bit of honesty. Thank you again so much, guys, for joining us.
Yeah, guys.
Have a great rest of your week, and all the best for the nuptials when they come up.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
News on the mark.
The year 2014. Two best friends set out on a journey to produce the best content related to all things film. In 2015, they founded a podcast to share their passions with the world. From rants, lisps, and beer to trailers, challenges, and premieres, Nick and Justin have you covered. Find the Epic Film Guys podcast at epicfilmguys.podbean.com and follow the show on Twitter. And we'll see you at the movies.
Second countdown for this musical extravaganza, having had a lot of fun with Gareth and Bex already, is to this time count down our best films featuring a musician turned actor. So not necessarily the greatest performance, but what was the best film that featured someone who thought they could sing who decided to try their hand at acting?
And that's always impressed me when people can sing and they actually turn out to be a good actor as well.
A double threat.
Yes, totally double threat.
Alright, well Wayne, your turn to lead off today.
Okay. I, by the way, had quite a bit of trouble with this list. There's not a lot that I thought was good or bad. I mean, sorry, good, really.
I'm a little bit disappointed because I liked my 10 films.
This is my number 10, okay? And I'm only choosing this guy really because I was actually impressed that he could be as good an actor given that he was a rapper. But the movie itself is a nostalgia pick. It's ludicrous. In the Fast and the Furious. I don't think he did particularly, you know, like, the movie is like, what do you get, this like blank-ass face, look on your face? What? Fast and Furious is full of quotable lines, man. Everyone knows about, you know, you live your life a quarter mile at a time and shit like that. So I think purely because I liked that movie, almost ironically, but then again, now I just like it properly. Paul, I don't think particularly agrees with my choice, but that's cool, you know.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to argue too much with number 10. Had this been number 1, that'd have been bloodshed.
Yeah, this would not be number 1. I got a whole bunch of class for number 1.
My number 10 is a film directed by Curtis Hanson from 2002 and starring your favourite white rapper and my favourite white rapper, Vanilla... No, Eminem. It is
Eminem.
8 Mile.
8 Mile, okay. Yep. Look, this is totally on my list.
It is?
Yes, okay, because so it was so impressive.
Stepped all over it. And look, it is a good performance, I think.
No, great performance.
And you know what's even better about it? He hasn't backed it up by becoming a regular actor.
Yes.
So he hasn't gone like, okay, he's pretty much playing himself. B-Rabbit. All right, okay, he's not playing himself, but there are a lot of similarities between his story and the character in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just playing what he knows, and that's why it works, I think.
I was actually just impressed with the film, because it doesn't end like, you know, where he's like all of a sudden made it and everything. I hate it when that happens, that's real 80s. But it kind of ends after just some resolution, and it's still a good movie. So I was impressed that he swung it. And I also dug Kim Basinger in this movie.
You dig Kim Basinger
in every general, movie. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So okay. There you go. Well, very nice. My number 9 is, this is weird, Anthony Kiedis.
Has no penis.
That's right. What is that?
From a sound check of a going to.
Yep. from Point Break. So the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and by the way, I hate their music, but...
What?
Yeah, I know. Every party we went to in the fucking 90s, the shit was fucking blown through the sex
music. Better, but...
Yeah, whatever. I characterized that whole... Yeah, anyway. But in Point Break, he really killed it. He's absolutely playing that would be a waste of time. That whole thing that he shoots himself.
Very small cameo, but okay.
It's a small cameo, but I think it worked very well.
Okay.
Bring it.
My number 9 is Harrick Connick. Junior.
Who the fuck is Harrick Connick?
Okay, Harrick. In Copycat.
Oh, Hazza Kazajuza. Yeah, no, he was in the Copycat. He kicked ass.
Playing this really nasty, seedy, creepy motherfucker.
Actually, that's a really good... I can't believe I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. He absolutely killed that.
Terrorizing Sigourney Weaver in the early parts of the film. And then, spoilers for a film from 20 years ago, has a little bit to do with the way it all plays out as well.
No, he's that thing with the knife. Oh, yeah, he was great. He was great. That was a good choice.
Thank you.
Damn, I want to replace my fucking shitty Ludacris with him. All right, anyway. It's done now. My number 8 was Eminem, dude.
Oh. Okay.
In 8 Mile. Okay. So we're back to you.
My number 8 is got special points, I think, because it includes two musicians, turned actors.
Hmm.
It has both Mark Wahlberg, who How could we forget that he was Marky Mark from Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Oh, yeah.
Although, or your wish we could forget that.
Yeah.
And Ice Cube.
Oh, okay.
It is David O. Russell's Three Kings.
Shit, I didn't even think about that
one. From 1999. And look, I like this film. It's a good movie. It's probably the first film about the Iraq War, mm-hmm. and, or the Iraqi War, and these guys who get a wind of this gold and they're trying to steal it, but then along the way they kind of get, oh, we have to help these poor people, and hijinks is the wrong word, but
yeah,
bad stuff ensues. And
I didn't know whether I'd like that movie, but it is a real, I do love it. It's a really good show, and
I haven't seen it in a long time, I will acknowledge, but three of them, and the third guy, of course, being George Clooney,
mm-hmm.
and I think the fourth guy being Spike Jonze.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
So all four of them are great in the movie, and yeah, to have two musicians turn actors in a film, and to get it hold up.
Yep.
For a guy who goes on to become, I don't know if David Russell's won an Academy Award, but he certainly, his films get nominated
the
time.
He's a darling, yes.
Yeah.
Ah, no, that's a good choice. Damn, you really did better than this than me. All right. My number seven is fucking, well, is Ice Cube. Because
yeah,
I want to say Three Kings now, but it's actually Boys in the Hood where I was surprised.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because I knew
also
him.
Also on my list.
Yeah, okay. Well, I knew his rap shit, so I was like, can this guy, oh, he actually can act. So, there you go.
This is the most authentic piece of casting ever.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Let's get this
actual gangster rapper.
Well, whether he's a gangster, let's not denigrate him in that particular way, but guy who lived in that hood,
mm-hmm.
Compton,
mm-hmm.
and make him be a hood in Compton,
yep.
That's about as close as you get, really.
Yes, not much of a stretch, but worked great.
Did it ever. So yeah. Doughboy was his character in that. Nice pick. My number seven is a film I reckon will make your list, but it's one you love.
Oh, go on.
It's Tom Waits in Mystery Men.
Yeah, I saw this on a lot of people's list.
Playing the mad scientist.
If I was more familiar with Tom Waits' stuff, I know. I'm not even that familiar with Tom Waits.
Tom Waits, I guess. He played a mad scientist, played it well. More importantly, the film's funny.
The film's funny. Mystery Men is it a dude film? Because I know it's like Swingers. I love Swingers. I love Mystery Men. A lot of people don't. A lot of chicks don't. Who knows?
There's no accounting for gender. I mean, just taste.
There is absolutely. Okay, nice pick. My number six is Kris Kristofferson from the Blade movies.
In my list as well. He's just treading all over me.
Yeah? I'm sorry, nigga. Yeah. But, I don't know. Like, I didn't really know Chris's music, but he does that. Was it Whistler? That character?
Yes, Abraham
he does
Whistler.
That so well. I don't know his acting as well, but this was the movie that I thought he killed it in.
Well, it's this grizzled kind of mentor figure for Blade, played by Wesley Snipes, who's this vampire / human hybrid. So they call him a daywalker. All the advantages of being a vampire and none of the disadvantages, as long as he can hold his bloodlust at bay.
Who doesn't know Blade, man? That's the shit.
So Whistler adopts him after his mum gets killed and raises him to be this feared vampire hunter. But nevertheless, his grizzled countenance, I think, is pretty perfect for this role.
That's right. And I don't really buy that he has Jessica Biel as a daughter, but never mind. So
nobody does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kris Kristofferson, Blade.
My number six might be quite high on your list, and I honestly don't know.
Hmm.
It's a Christopher Nolan film.
Okay.
Starring, among others, David Bowie.
I have not placed it in my head yet. Go on.
I'm surprised, because I thought you were a big fan of this movie.
Oh, shit, of course. Duh, The Prestige.
The Prestige.
Yes.
Playing Tesla.
Yeah.
Amongst Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale's warring magicians.
No, you know what? Fuck, another one I missed. That's good.
Oh, your list
That's
is
real good.
Worse and worse.
Yeah, well,
I got
confused.
A couple of good ones. This is a pretty great film. I think you're a bigger fan of it than I am, but it's dark, it's foreboding, it's full of pathos, and then David Bowie just swans in being David Bowie. And when I say that, because he's so chameleon-like. He's been so many different characters and believable in them all.
Mm.
He's good in the film. The film overall is even better.
The film is one of my favorites.
There you go.
Absolutely. Nope. Good pick. Good pick. Now my list gets pretty gay. Gets gayer. In a good way, because this is really what I do. I try and annoy Paul. My number five is, get this, Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard. Yeah, boy.
Wasn't Whitney Houston a singer first?
Yes, it's singer turned actress, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
we're getting
I got
because this is some fucking fine-ass brief.
We've had two lists today, and I tell you what, it's been a
Yeah, I'm
source of contention.
Jesus, I've been thinking so much.
Yeah, you're totally right. This is a good call.
So, yes, Whitney Houston.
Well, no, it's not, because it's a shit film. But
I loved The Bodyguard. I loved her in it, because she played herself, and boy, did I believe it, that she was a shitty-ass, fucking upper-ass, fucking pop star woman.
Diva.
So, diva, exactly, diva. So, that, yeah, I mean, I remember going, this is good. This is, I think it's her first acting kind of debut.
Only?
No, she did, like, Waiting to Exhale afterwards. But this one was the first time she did. I didn't see
classic.
That
one.
But she kicked it, so there you go.
She what did it?
She killed it. Kicked it. She kicked it and
she
killed it.
She clicked it?
She fucked it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My number five is a film that might be higher on your list. Mm. I hope it's higher on your list.
All right, let's hear it.
Because you purport to love it so much.
You go on.
It is Martin Scorsese's The Departed, starring Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Well, Mark Wahlberg is on my list next. He's number
but
four.
But not for this film?
But not really. Well.
So you missed The Departed.
No, sorry. It is for this film. It is for this film.
Oh, so you're right.
So, yes, I completely agree with you.
All right. Good.
Marky Mark is... He shouldn't really be successful at anything.
Playing Sergeant Sean Dingham. Let's be honest, okay? You want to give him Marky Mark shit about whatever, based on his music
career. The 90s were the 90s. Everyone did bad shit.
But in this film, I'm pretty sure he's Academy Award nominated.
Yeah,
he didn't win it, but because he was the hard-assed Boston sergeant police officer.
Yeah.
And who takes charge, man.
Dude, the thing he did with Alec Baldwin in that movie... is just great. Them giving each other shit. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the best things about the movie.
I totally agree. What a great film. Mm. You've talked about it endlessly. Unfortunately, I couldn't not leave it off this list.
No, that's fine.
I couldn't leave it off this list.
Yeah, it's gotta be honest. That's cool. Well, okay, so the mine was number four with Marky Mark, so we're back to you for number three.
I missed my number four, so we jumped.
Did you?
Number four is Boys in the Hood. That's fine. So you've mentioned it already.
My number three
is also Blade, which you've also mentioned already. We are kicking through
this. Okay, cool. Well, my number three is Will Smith. I genuinely think Will Smith is a good actor. He gets a lot of heat and that sort of shit, but if you've seen like that Six Degrees of Separation movie where he played a gay kind of it's actually quite a broad role for him.
Is that your pick?
That is my pick. Yeah. Number three.
Number three.
So
Six Degrees Separation. So Fred Shepsey film.
You're good. I think it's Skippy. But yeah, no, he was fucking sweet man in that shit, and it was not. Actually, I quite liked the movie in spite of myself. Saw it on Laserdisc.
Once again, we date ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I tried to watch that movie, and what I do like about the film is the camera never stops moving.
You know what? I think I'm sorry. I don't even notice it. I just
but it's pretty much people in a room talking.
Oh yeah, it's totally like
and therefore
a character piece. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think we need to go back to you because you did start the countdown for your number two.
Okay, my number two is Zooey Deschanel was in fact a singer first. She started in an indie pop singer in a duo called She and Him. They cut a record, and she then subsequently went on to become an actor.
Okay.
And so, really, I think the one that I liked her most in was 500 Days of Summer. But she's done a heap of shit. She's the elf that Bex was mentioning and all sorts of shit. And she does it on TV as well. New Girl, she sings. But whenever she sings, she's awesome. But she's also a good actress. So, that's my number two.
Okay. Hard to argue with it. I like that movie. I think I said it. It was one of my only genuinely enjoyed rom-coms.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I think you're going to be kicking yourself unless my number two is your number one.
No, I probably am. I've not done
And my number
list.
One, therefore, would be missed, and you'll be kicking yourself even more.
Go on.
So my number two is a film directed by Rennie Harlan from 1999. Yep, you're frowning like, what
I'm
could this possibly
be? I'm frowning, thinking, what is
it
this?
It stars LL Cool J.
Yeah?
In a film about smart sharks.
Oh, wait, so
Deep Blue Sea.
So wait, LL Cool J is the guy you're picking for this?
Yeah.
Fuck off, man! He's not a good actor!
I didn't say he's a good actor. He's in a good film.
Alright.
Musician turned actor. Not the best performances.
Alright. Okay, fine. This is a very complex countdown.
We often have this thing where it could go one of two ways. And if you think back to the Epic Film Guys when Nick and Justin were on, and
Justin
all counted down the best films, and meanwhile Nick was counting the best Leo roles.
Yeah,
so we went today, and we were very clear about this, the best films.
Yep, that's fine.
So do you now feel bad that you left off Deep Blue Sea?
No, I'm fine.
It's a stupid film, but God, it's awesome.
Yeah, no.
A film about... Alzheimer's research in shark brains, which turns sharks into these super smart predators. And then a storm happens and sinks this research lab, and it gets flooded, and the sharks hunt down the people who are doing including one of the best deaths in cinema history. But we'll save that for another countdown, because that's coming.
Totally. My number one...
Oh, and LL Cool J lives, which is fucking amazing.
Well, now you spoiled it. my number one is, well, Mos Def. Mos Def in The Italian Job.
Oh, fuck me.
I love The Italian Job. Oh, I can watch that movie over and over.
All right, let's just... I might put a fucking poll up on Twitter. Your number one versus my number one. What's a better film?
Yeah, okay, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I haven't
heard my number one yet.
What I'm doing, again, with me missing the brief here, because fuck these. Mos Def, actually, from being a rapper or whatever, actually ended up being a better actor than a rapper, in my opinion. A lot of people would disagree. And in The Italian Job, he's done a bunch of other shit as well. I want to say, you know, like Dexter and stuff like that, but that's TV. Yeah, this is it. That's my number one, man. Shake your head all you want. This is a movie I love. Not because it's the best ever, but because it's most enjoyable.
Oh, God, old defense.
Fuck, it's the one that always... It's the name I thought of when you came up with this.
Okay.
Let's hear your number one, motherfucker. Let's hear your number one.
And ready, Mike, prepared to be dropped. Because my number one is Fight Club, directed by David Fincher.
Who the fuck
starring Meatloaf as his name
fuck off,
was
starring.
Robert Paulson.
Oh, eat my balls. Look, Fight Club is a way better movie than the one I put on. Meatloaf isn't even the lead, man. That cracker is
not the fucking lead, but he's in it.
Ah, oh, fuck. All right.
He's in it significantly.
In my head, that's what I discounted it, but okay, fine.
And was like, okay, so obviously Ed Norton, and we've got
Brad Pitt.
And Helena Bonham Carter. Mm-hmm. He's the next biggest thing in the film. Fourth lead, motherfucker.
Fourth lead. There's three people in the film. All right, fine. Nope. You trumped me. You win.
I'm pretty sure that if we go to the count back, my list has been amazing, and your list has been barely adequate.
I would probably agree with that. This topic has not been good to me, people. So yeah, hey, great, good. I like that. You win. You definitely win.
So that's it for today. Our musical extravaganza episode 2 countdowns. One cool for cast. It's been a lot of fun today, Wayne.
Yes, very all over the place in my head, but I had a hell of a good time doing it.
It was a hard one in some of the ways to do some of those countdowns, but that's okay, because we've now ticked those boxes and we've marched towards episode 50 and our year special, which we're going to talk about in the weeks coming up, episode 52 that will be.
That's right. Now, what are we going to do next week, Paulie?
Next week, we have a review of Deadpool.
So,
supposedly the most out there Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
Yeah.
The most violent of them all. Mm-hmm. Hence, it's being released in February and not expected to be a big summer tentpole in the States. And on the basis of that, we're going to do American R-rated action flicks.
Yeah.
A countdown of those, which is totally Wayne and I's wheelhouse. Cannot wait for that show.
It's kind of how we became friends. We liked those same
Tango
movies.
Tango and Cash. And the week after, we're going to be doing an Oscar special. And our Oscar special is going to be about calling out the worst 10 Oscar-winning films in history. Not Best Picture, necessarily, though of course it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But what were the worst major category winners?
Yeah, the worst calls they've made.
The worst calls that they've ever made in history. And when we say history, of course, probably the last 20, 30 years in particular, mm-hmm. when we have been major film watchers. We're going to call them out and hope to God that the Academy does not reward the wrong films this year. I think we'll also make our calls on the best.
What should have won?
Well, what will win in this year as well.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll have a little bit of a bet thing going on. We'll make our calls, we'll say them online, and then the week after we'll revisit them.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose that one.
I've not at all prepared Wayne for that, so he's looking at me like, what the fuck?
No, that's fine. I can figure it out.
All right, we've got a couple of weeks to think about it anyway. That's our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, I want to throw out a big shout out to hashtag Pod and Family, and of course, our brothers from the United States, the Epic Film Guys, who have... Nick and Justin have totally helped promote our show over there. We hope we're doing the same for them. We cannot wait. We have a huge show coming next month with them. We're going to cross over onto their show with some massive details to be announced. And then, as has been mentioned previously, Nick will be covering for Wayne, who's going on a well-earned and long holiday.
Thanks, Nick.
3 weeks in the States.
Yep. So how can folks get in touch with us, Paulie?
Well, let's start with Twitter then for a change this week, at the Countdown PC, where I hope by this time next week we'll have crossed 2,000 followers, which is quite the achievement from a podcast that about 20 weeks ago had 23 followers.
Damn straight, man.
How else, Wayne?
If you want to get us on Facebook, just search for the Countdown Movie and TV on Facebook. You'll find us there. And for a good old-fashioned email, just send it to thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Follow us both on Letterboxd, where Wayne is Wayne Tang Clan and I am Kaiser Soze. We are now also on Stitcher and Spreaker. If you are not an iTunes user, please follow us there or like our podcast there. And finally, on Podomatic, where we host our podcast, help us rise up the rankings by following us or reviewing an episode, leaving a comment, all that kind of stuff. As always, Wayne, it has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, folks, for listening. Until next week, my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. Thanks so much for joining us from all over the world. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón.